Good morning.
Good morning.
There is an old saying that goes, there is a wrong way and there's my way. It's usually used tongue in cheek. However, there are some people who believe that they are never wrong and will do all that they can to avoid blame. They will push blame off on others or on someone else. There's also another saying that there's more than one way to skin a cat. I don't know what kind of sick individual came up with that one or why they would be looking for different ways to skin cats, but basically it means that there are often more ways or more means to an end than meets the eye. For some things, this makes perfectly good sense. However, the best way to do something is not always the easiest way. It is not always the cheapest way. It is not always the most expensive way. Sometimes there are more ways to do something than there are more wrong ways to do something than there are right ways. And sometimes there's only one right way. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 12. It tells us here in Proverbs 4 and verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Clearly, this passage teaches that there is a wrong way that a person can choose. Some people believe that they know better than anyone else, including God, which way they should go. I know if we were honest with ourselves and were asked the question, have you ever been wrong? The majority of the people I know would say, yes, I've been wrong. I know and I admit that I've been wrong at times, and many times I've been wrong. Many people refuse to admit that they've been wrong, or they're reluctant, and most of the people are reluctant to admit that they've ever been wrong. However, we would answer that question, yes. Some people have convinced themselves so much so that they were right, that they could never be wrong, that even when presented with all the evidence and all the truth right before their very eyes, they still believe that they're not wrong, even with it right in front of them. They're not convinced. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. This is telling us that there is a way that God has provided for us, and we are to trust in that way rather than lean on our own thoughts and on our own ways. This verse is not teaching miraculous intervention, but sometimes we find it hard to get over ourselves, so to speak. Especially when others have let us down in the past, we learn to trust in only ourselves. I know that I won't let myself down, and so the attitude is I trust in myself. This is okay, and this is good for us for the most part, but it also teaches us not to trust in God. I guess the people in biblical times were no different. They had a problem with self-centeredness. In the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, he said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Did you catch that? We are literally designed to walk in the pathway of God. Have you ever seen someone use a wrench for a hammer, or perhaps a pair of pliers for a wrench? That's using the tool for something that it is not designed for. When God created us, He created us to walk in His statutes, to walk in His light. That means that we are designed to live a certain way. God commanded the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 6, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to fear Him. Anytime that they got out of line, God would set them straight. And whenever they were walking in God's pathways, their life was going well and life was good. And then they decided to walk in their own ways and start inventing their own means, and they started getting farther from God. In order to walk in God's ways, we certainly need to know what the Lord requires of us. Lucky for us, He has given us His inspired word to guide us. The basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, a lot of people use that. I don't know who originally coined that, but pretty quick and pretty smart for them. The Bible is a guide to all of us, and not just to us, but to all of humanity. It is not here for me to take and dish out to others. That is not its purpose. It is not here for me to give to others as I see fit. It's not for anyone to take control over. It is for each and every one of us to use as a guide to guide our lives and to follow the statutes of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. If we use the Bible the way it was intended for us, then we will walk on that path that God has set before us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That perfect right there, that word means complete, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Generation after generation, God's message continues to go unchanged. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So generation after generation, God's message continues to go unchanged. And God is always calling us, if you will get back into the paths that I've set before you, get back to the old paths. If God hasn't changed since the implementation of the New Testament, then why are so many people doing things their own way? Why are so many people wanting to change things and adjust things to suit themselves? Why has religion changed so much over the last 2,000 years? It's easy to understand. Man simply cannot leave well enough alone. Everyone thinks that they have a better way. When I was a kid, we had this belief that by the year 2020, cars would be obsolete and everyone would be flying around in their own personal little Jetson-style spaceship or aircraft. And we thought, that's when 2020, it's a long ways away, and that's the way it's going to be. Technology will have advanced to the point that we won't even need automobiles anymore. Well, yet with all the ingenuity of man and the fact that everyone seems to think that they have a better way, the basic design of the automobile hasn't changed. A motor drives a wheel that propels the vehicle while an operator sits in the vehicle, manipulates the controls for speed, direction, etc. So if we really can't totally change what man created, what makes us think that we can change what God created and make it better? Oh, I'm sure we've come a long way since the old Model T, when they'd crank it up in the front and hop in the seat and it's open air and it's hot and it's cold or whatever. But we still have the basic same design. Some people want to change things and make it suit them. It's better this way. I like it better. Let's try to do what God likes better. I once knew a business owner, and whenever he had candidates he was hiring for a position, the position would be to be a builder, and everyone had the attitude that, well, I'm a master carpenter, and this is how much I need to make. So in order to weed through all of that, what he would do is he would write out some simple instructions, and he would give them those instructions, and he would have them build a box. And each candidate would build their little box, and they would have these instructions. Here's the material that you can use, and here's the tools that you can use, and here's the way I want it built. And then he would sit back and he would watch as they built the boxes. And it wasn't really a matter of quality. It was a matter of whether they could follow the instructions or not. Because if they couldn't follow the instructions in a simple job interview, how are they going to listen to what he has to say when he has an important project? When lives depend on it, perhaps. Some people just had to do it their own way. The same goes for worship. Some folks tend to get bored with worshiping God in the way that He commanded. It's not that they don't want to worship Him, but that they want to do it their own way. I think we can certainly relate. During this time of government shutdown, businesses shutting down, America and the world, as far as that goes, going into isolation and self-quarantine, I don't think people mind the quarantine so much. I really don't. I think what they really mind is someone telling them what they can and can't do. I think that's the whole thrust. I don't think people mind being at home. I don't think people mind being in quarantine. I just think people don't like being told what to do. If I do it on my own to protect my family, I'm okay. But if the government or someone else is trying to tell me that I have to or else, then I'm going to fight it tooth and nail. That seems to be the attitude. I mean, that's not me. I'm just saying that's the attitude of people. People don't want to conform. They don't want to conform to the government. If they don't want to conform to the government, what makes you think they're going to want to conform to God? This seems to be human nature. We can see it even in the youngest of children pushing the limits of their parents when their parents tell them they can or can't do something, or that they must or must not do something. And what do? They reach out. Don't touch that. They reach out. They're going to keep on. They're going to keep on. You know you've seen it. You moms with little kids. You grandparents with little kids. No. 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 And they get closer and closer and closer. They push this human nature, because if it wasn't human nature, we wouldn't see it in the children. But it's human nature, but it's a bad thing when it crosses over to God. God says don't do it. And they do it anyway. It started with Adam and Eve. Don't touch that fruit. Don't eat that fruit. She did it anyway. God doesn't allow us to change things to make them more appealing to us. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereunto, nor diminish from it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. This is what I said to do. Don't add things in there. Don't take away things from it. This is the way you do it. Mankind is constantly making up their own doctrines, trying to circumvent God's commands. Sometimes for us, it's hard to believe that someone doesn't like what we like. If you like something, you have a tendency to think everybody likes that. For me, for one, I can't understand how someone would not like seafood. I just think it's really great, and I think somebody, so they got something wrong with it. They don't like seafood. Or some people don't like pizza. Go figure. Kids are scratching their heads like, who? Yeah, I mean, what's he talking about? Nobody like, right? But we have a tendency to think that because I like it, someone else likes it. And that's okay. It's okay to think that way, except when you think that way about God. I like it, so God has to like it. I accept it. We convince ourselves that if we like it and it seems good, then God will like it and accept it as well. Hey, God, look at the good changes I made. I gave an illustration just a few moments ago about an employer who designed a box and gave instructions on how to build the box. Imagine if he had four or five candidates for employment, and one of them came and said, look, the box is much better than the box that you made. I made one a lot better. And clearly the box was better. I made a better box. I did it this way and this way. I should be hired and get more money. Right? Wrong. He didn't follow the instructions. It's not about a better box. It's about following the instructions and doing it the way that he wants, doing it the way the employer wants. And when we look at this, do we do things the way God wants, or do we change them to suit our own needs? Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. If we've got our heart set on doing things our way and it's different than God commands, and he's not pleased. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. This people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These people were making the command of God of none effect by their traditions. Matthew 15, 6. How many religious organizations today follow the traditions of their founding fathers, who founded those religions on the doctrines of men instead of the doctrines of God? Some have been around so long they're commonly accepted as being authoritative. But look at the verse again. Their worship is in vain. Have you ever done something that is in vain? This means that your efforts were useless. You ever try to hang up a banner or a sign and the wind is blowing so hard that every time you pick it up it just blows out of your hand and finally you just throw everything down? It's in vain. It's useless. And that's what he says of the worship of those who worship using the doctrines of men instead of the doctrines of God. If we can worship by the doctrines of men, if it's feasible, then that means that there is a doctrine of God that can be worshipped as well. This people draweth near unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Their heart is taken away from God because they're focusing on things that please men instead of things that please God. That's interesting. When we love the world and worldly things more than we love God, then our lives are headed in the wrong direction. Some people want to be so much like worldly people or like the world around them that no one can tell that they're even Christians. Some religious people want to be so much like the world that you can't even tell that they're religious people at all. James chapter 4. And verse 4, James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. I don't know how many times I've seen people make the statement or broadcast a statement that they are Christians, perhaps on social media or something like that, and I would never have known it by the way that they act or by the way that they talk. Or they'll share or they'll post something or they'll open something up or they'll say something that you think, how can you talk like that and claim to be a Christian? Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Apparently, some people believe that they can live however they want and still be pleasing to God. As the old adage goes, do unto others before they do unto you. That is not found in the Bible. It doesn't come from the Bible. In fact, it is a gross distortion of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, where Jesus says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. How we treat others, how we treat our fellow man, has a lot to say about our religious practices. What does that have to do with there being a right way and a wrong way? If you continue in Matthew 7, down to verse 13 and 14, it goes on to say, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Are we choosing the broad way that leads to destruction and not even know it? Do we have family or friends who are on the same path and don't even know it? Do you know somebody who's claiming to be a child of God and yet they're walking on the broad path, or running rather on the broad path? There was a movie came out in 1997. Some of you may have seen it, called Men in Black. And in this movie, the main characters, they were part of an elite task force. Apparently, the plot says that there were aliens living among us, some as postal workers, some as construction workers, some even as our pets, and there were aliens. And the job of this task force was to keep them in check, but also to keep the people from knowing that they were walking among us. And so anytime there was an actual sighting, an undeniable sighting of one of these aliens, the men in black would put their dark sunglasses on and they would reach in their pocket and they would pull out this pin-like instrument and they would say, can I get your attention? And they'd click it. There'd be a flash of light. And everybody that saw that would have their memory erased that they ever saw an alien. They wouldn't even know that it ever existed. Now, I use this illustration because I want you to think about this for a moment. What if there were such a device as that, where someone could pick up a device and they could flash the world, and all the religions that we know about today were erased? All the denominations of every religion in the world was erased, gone. Every one of them. All the buildings were gone. All the books were gone. Everything was gone. The only thing we had was we still had a belief in God, and we still had our Bibles. That being the case, how would we live? Organized religion as we know it, erased. All we had to go by was the Bible, nothing more, nothing less. How many of the denominations of today would be forever forgotten because there wasn't even the slightest hint of those practices mentioned in the Bible? Because they had started with a foundational biblical stance, and then they change and they make more changes and more changes and more changes until the Bible is completely out of they follow their rule books. Is that what God wanted? Or does God want us to go back to the old paths? This is my way, and it hasn't changed. It's still my way. 100 years from now, His way will still be the same way. No one gets authority to change it. Some may say, well, God has given some people authority, but He hasn't. The Scriptures would have told us God gave this person, but it doesn't. It doesn't say that. Some religious groups have changed with each new generation of leaders making their own practices law, making their own doctrines law. Remember Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's difficult for us to set aside all our preconceived notions and rely solely on the Bible, especially when there are those who have convinced the masses that they have more authority than Jesus Himself. When we ask about those people, we say, how can you do that? How can you practice the doctrines of men instead of the Bible? They don't see anything wrong with it, because they put religious leaders in authority. But what does it say in Matthew 28:18? Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, what did Jesus say? All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That means that if all power is given to Jesus, that it doesn't leave any power for anyone else. Not in this generation, not in 20 generations from now. All power has been given to Jesus. Well, I don't believe that there is or that there ever will be a device that can reach up and erase the memories of all men or even for a moment. However, it would probably be good if we could erase all the man-made doctrines concerning the Bible and simply open the pages of Scripture and read what Jesus and the apostles taught and read how they lived or how they worshiped. Maybe we too could return to the old paths at that point. What is it that God requires of us? What does God require us to do? How does He want us to live? How does He expect us to live? The Scripture has been given. The verses have been given. The Bible has been given to us. It is there. It has been given. And it even says within its pages that it hasn't changed, nor will it ever change. God's Word is the same. We have been given a command to worship Him according to His statutes. Are we worshiping Him according to His statutes? If you've not obeyed the gospel, what do you need to do? The pages are written. The gospel is written in there. And there's some things that we're told that we must do. We must hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I know that's in there, so I know I have to accept that. We must believe. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must also repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, from the Scriptures, Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Baptism, we must put Christ on in baptism. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Finally, we must remain faithful unto death. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?